Welcome to Awaken Podcast. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome this morning. If you are visiting or new, special welcome to you. It can be a big deal to come to a church for the first time. If anyone is interested in connecting at Awaken, you can go online. There's a connection card you can fill out or a card in front of you. If you fill one of those out, someone from our connection team will contact you. We would love to take you out for a beverage of your choice, get to know you a little bit better. Or if anyone has tithes or offerings this morning, there are a number of ways you can give. You can give in person in the black boxes by each of the doors. Or online. There's a little QR code in front of you that'll bring you to either a Venmo or something else digital. I'm out of practice. lots of things happening around here. Easter was last week. That feels weird. We're through that. next week, we are hosting something called Discover Awaken. So if you are new to Awaken, that's a really good thing to go to. It's lunch, there will be a bunch of other new people, and you get to hear a little bit of who Awaken is, why we do what we do. So you can register online for that. That's after the second gathering next Sunday on the 14th. The 20th, we are hosting an Earth Day pancake breakfast. So we partner with the City of St. Paul to do some city cleanup for Earth Day. Feels like we should feed people. So that's what we do. Downstairs in the basement, there are three different seating times. You can register for that. Or if you're interested in volunteering, you're more than welcome to sign up to serve as well. There is a learning lab also happening that weekend, but on Sunday the 21st, that'll be 6 o'clock. Jackie and Vince Vaughn, you probably know them because they are one of the most well-connected people on their own volition at Awaken. They are hosting something called Turning Your Street into a Community. So talking about, how do you create community around you? That's not just a thing for extroverts, introverts too. So if that's of interest to you, that's 6 to 8, you can register on the website. And then finally, Kathy is hosting another round of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner on April 27th. We're excited about that one. I heard a woo. that's the 27th of April from 6 to 8:30. And how that goes is you sign up to participate in the event, and you will be given a name of hosts that you may or may not know, an address, and you show up to just an evening of dinner with a few people that maybe people you know, maybe people you don't. But it's actually a really fun event, even if maybe it feels like, what do you mean I'm not going to know everyone there? It's a blast. Last year I went, and I think there was a group text chain that was formed out of our dinner. So that's a really good way, again, if you're new and trying to figure out, how do you make friends around here? And then just a final note, if you were planning on attending Pack and Play today, it's raining, so that's not happening. Friends, I am back. And I am so excited to be back. And if you're new and wondering if it's regular to clap for whoever's teaching, it's not. Should it be? I don't know, Micah. That might feel kind of good. No, I'm just kidding. I have been away on parental leave for 5 months. It has been a really, I think, beautiful experience. And I'm really excited to be back here and working and doing all the things. If any of you are wondering, what does Jenna do again? That's fair. I do a lot of internal things around here. I lead the staff, I oversee care, and usually a bunch of random stuff. This morning is a sermon, and I think it's kind of also functioning like an introduction, a reintroduction of me to all of you, sharing a little bit of what the last 5 months have been, some things that I think God has been forming in me. Just felt like a good idea. Before I go on, I would be remiss to not give some thank yous. I know this part might read a little like an awards acceptance speech, but it took a lot of people to give me the gift of being away and not thinking about work. So first, to so many of you who brought meals and gave to postpartum care, it just made everything better. And it was always fun to wonder what we were having for dinner. To the board for even making a policy like this to give parents 20 weeks to be away. I've never been, honestly, it's, sometimes when you share with just people in the world that you work for a church, it creates a weird moment. I've never been more forthcoming that I work for a church because of the generosity and pride of working for a place like this and people being like, oh my word, that's amazing. And to the staff who work so hard and who held things so beautifully, it's felt when those of us are out for a long time, and especially those who are holding my work, Art and Micah, Kathy, Eric, Heather Crawford, and Skip, who are on the care and prayer teams. Just so grateful. This will be a time when I look back and remember and appreciate all the hands and people who gave that gift to me. So, moving on from the thank yous. This morning, I was given a blank slate to do whatever I wanted. So I'm not even going to teach from the Bible. Just kidding. we are in the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis 17, so if you are able, I would like to invite you to stand in body or in spirit for the reading of the word.
Reading from Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully. Blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.
Thanks, Charlie. I would listen to you read the phone book. Will you pray with me? God, for eyes to see and ears to hear this morning, that you would expand us into new ways of experiencing you and knowing you, new possibilities. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this is a really significant passage in Jewish and Christian traditions. If it's familiar to you, you might hear that this is something that we call the Abrahamic Covenant. So it's a really significant one. We skipped over some very important parts, and that came with some intention because there's one particular thread I really want us to look at, and it might seem insignificant in comparison to how big a moment like this is in Scripture, and yet I think it grounds the whole thing. So a little context to do that. We meet Abram and Sarai in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. And maybe a familiar passage where God appears to Abram at the age of 75 and promises him and Sarai many descendants. God tells them to go, leave everything they know to a land that God will show them. For the planners in the room, that sounds horrible. I am a planner. This passage always gives me anxiety. So for a land that they will see. In Genesis 17, there's been a lot that has happened in those five chapters. But we're 24 years later. Abram is 99. And in this passage, what's happening is I would call it a really tender moment between God and Abram and Sarai, where God is saying, like, for real, I will make good on this. You can trust that this thing is actually for you. What I want to talk about this morning is names. In this passage, we hear the name of God, El Shaddai. It's the first time this name is ever used in Scripture. If you have an Amy Grant song in your head at hearing El Shaddai, you are not alone. I am very glad this week is over because I had quite the earworm. But what I want to do is read this passage in another translation. So if you notice in the NIV, it was translated Almighty God. And I just want to read, this is from the Inclusive Bible. It's an egalitarian translation. And this is how they translate that. When Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared and said, I am the Breasted One. Walk in my presence and be blameless. I will make a covenant between you and me, and I will increase your numbers exceedingly. Did you catch that name for God there? Very different than the Almighty One, seemingly. The Breasted One. What does that mean? Well, I think maybe one way we could hear that name of God is through an image of God. God like a nursing mother, scooping you up, nourishing you, sustaining you. Have you ever thought of God like that? Experienced God like that? This name of God is likely one of the oldest names used of God in the Scriptures, according to how very smart scholars date things in the Bible. But it's one of those kind of obscure, squishy words to translate into English. There's actually some heated debate, a little Bible controversy, if you will, on how to translate this particular word. And for the sake of our time, and maybe unnecessarily complicated explanations for this thing, I just want to paint the most basic form of this argument and why it's maybe controversial. And it has to do with grammar and the Hebrew language. I know I have all of you just eating out of the palm of my hand. just a note about the Hebrew language. In English, oftentimes when we're trying to articulate something or express maybe a stronger meaning of something, you just add a word or you pick from the buffet of many different words. So, for example, if you were trying to articulate how much you love someone, but love just isn't quite it. There's a million words you could choose from. Maybe you go with adore. That is a little bit how English works when we're trying to articulate something. Just pick a different word. In Hebrew, instead of adding words, what happens is we add another layer to already existing words. So the meaning of words kind of deepen. When you look at a Hebrew word, there can be a real, like, vast range of meaning. But it's because this is how it functions that when translators are trying to figure out, how do we say this in English, it's really helpful when you know where the word actually came from so that you can accurately say and preserve the meaning of a thing. So for this particular thing, Ace, if you want to put the slide up, we have three Hebrew words here. The first is El Shaddai. That is the word in question. How do we translate this? Below that is a Hebrew word, shadad, which is to destroy. And below that, there is a Hebrew word, shad, which is breast. So if you go to the next slide, you'll notice that all three of these words have the same two letters. It's shin and dalet. And so when translators are looking at this, they're trying to figure out, does El Shaddai come from the word shadad, to destroy, or is it possible that El Shaddai comes from the word shad, breast? That's enough with that. So, traditionally, most translators say, in the NIV, Shaddai comes from shadad. Almighty God, Sovereign God, that's often how we hear it. But there is a growing movement in scholarship that's saying, well, is it possible that Shaddai could come from Shad, breast? Now, there are plenty of people who maybe think that that is overstated. Maybe that's true. Why do we go here? Why do I share all this with you? For a couple reasons. One, it's sort of an integrity issue for me. And what I mean by that is many of us come from traditions where you never learn this kind of stuff. You never learn about nuanced translations or different possibilities. And so when we encounter things that maybe have multiple ways of seeing it, it can be incredibly disorienting to all of a sudden need to figure out, oh my word, what do I think about it? Well, what is that? So it just feels like it's responsible to share with all of you that there are some complicated things in Scripture. But maybe bigger than that, it's because I needed that image of God. We need that image of God. A picture of God that is warm, nourishing, soft, and fat, where you don't have to use so many words. She just knows you're hungry because your lip quivered. She's watching over you, anticipating what you need next and trying to figure out how to provide that. Comfort. I need that. We need a God like that. This last 5 months of being in a postpartum cave, as I affectionately refer to it as, has meant things got really simple, and it was about survival, making sure my baby is alive and consequently me, because I'm needed, and cleaning, like so much cleaning and empty threats of getting rid of the dog. That's actually very real. But I didn't go to church. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't pray, like the trifecta of all the things a good Christian is supposed to do. The closest I got to prayer, and I do think this counts, was just attempts to make myself present to God. But there certainly weren't words. Just an attempt on my end to cozy up to something warm that might get me through to the next sunrise. A God who understands what I was going through. It's hard to sustain a thing. I need the breasted one. Maybe no different than a nomadic group of Hebrew people trying to establish themselves need a mother God and a mighty God, El Shaddai. Maybe no different than the ones of us who are tangled in things that we can't get ourselves out of, needing a saving God, Jesus. Maybe no different than the lonely ones needing a companion God, Emmanuel, God with us. Is it so off base to also need this very feminine version of God? I think it's okay to need different versions and different names of God. What if God is like a nursing mother? That image for you might evoke some emotion, maybe some discomfort, because we don't talk about things like that in church. Maybe it's inappropriate. Maybe resonance. Maybe you've experienced God like that. Maybe curiosity. Maybe pain or anger. Maybe disappointment or longing. Maybe hope. Maybe if you're a mother, there's grief because that wasn't a part of your experience as a mother and you really wanted it. Maybe joy, if you are a mother and that was one of your favorite parts. Maybe if you want to be a mother, you just can't go there with this image. Maybe it makes you think about your mother, and that feels really good. And maybe it feels really, really terrible. Maybe thinking of this image of God as intimately nourishing and sustaining us, maybe that feels hollow. Maybe you're thinking, Jenna, that's great that you experience God-like for it, but it's not for me. Fair. All of that belongs when we talk about a powerful image like that, understanding God like that. My friend Steph Spencer, who many of you know, co-leads with Lisa Adams an organization called 40 Orchards, a local nonprofit that does study of scripture together in the most amazing and I would even call it fun way. But she has done a lot of study on El Shaddai and translated as the breasted one. And so I talked to her today and she shared a particular usage of El Shaddai in the scripture that I just couldn't shake. So I want to share that with us this morning. It's in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. So Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. And this is what she says. She says, "Don't call me Naomi." Naomi in Hebrew means delight. "Don't call me delight. Call me Mara, bitterness. For the Lord has afflicted me, and Shaddai has brought bitter destruction on me. I was filled to the brim when I departed, but the Lord brought me back empty. Why insist on calling me delight, since the Lord has passed sentence upon me, and Shaddai has brought me to ruin?" Steph shared that there is a way to read this where Naomi is accusing the breasted one of having empty breasts. No nourishment for her. God didn't provide for me in the way that she was supposed to. In fact, I feel destroyed. She uses this name, God, El Shaddai, speaking, naming with rawness about how this image of God just brings hurt. There is some really intense stuff in the Bible. I never want to be a person who sanitizes it. There's like beautifully joyful things too. And I think these sometimes getting into the harder feelings in church is actually harder. I think this can be a model for us. I think we maybe have more permission than we realize to name God how we need to name God according to experience. That's why there are dozens of names of God in Scripture. There's biblical precedence for saying things about God, using different names for God. In Genesis 16, deeply connected to the story in right now, Hagar, she's actually the only person in Scripture who gives a name to God. She calls God El Roi, the God who sees me. God names God's self to Moses, Yahweh, I will be who I will be. The biblical writers use different names all throughout scriptures to communicate something about God. And then there are people in scripture that talk about the really hard experience of God and the really beautiful experiences of God. And I'm not saying what we name about God or what we say about God is inherently true about the nature and character of God. For example, let's just say you're in an inconceivable moment in your life. Something has happened that you have no category for. And if you were to name God, maybe you would have nothing positive to say about how it feels with God right now. Maybe instead of calling God the faithful one, like you maybe have in past experiences, when you felt the presence and nourishing warmth of God buoying you up, maybe it's not that. If you were to be grossly honest, maybe you would say that you are the one who abandoned me, or like Naomi, you are the one who didn't have enough for me. Let's just say, hypothetically, maybe some of us in the room have known that feeling before. Do I think that God abandons us or doesn't have enough for us? No. No, I don't. Do I think it's possible to have an experience that feels like that's true about God? I do. Been there. Assuming we don't want to stay in that kind of pain, that space of feeling abandoned, I don't know that we move out of it without saying it out loud. I just don't know that there's been any lesson in my life that has said, if you just don't say it, it'll go away. That is terrible news for the people with Scandinavian heritage in the room. I am sorry. I actually think that this is a practice. This is a part of how we're transformed in our lives. How we move in seasons in our spiritual life is by naming, saying out loud, this is what it's like right now, God. I guess I just think that's true about how we grow. And that includes the beautiful parts of it too. Like when you are in celebration and joy and where gratitude is easy, like we have to give name to that as well. Because if we don't, like lest we forget that that exists too when you're in the hard space. We have to name it so that we can fully receive of the beauty and joy that also exists. And so, a question for us this morning, something to wonder about. If you could give God a name that captured something about where you are right now, about where you think God is, what name would you give God? Why? What might it open for you? I originally had a lot more to say, which is rare for me in this context. I felt like, Jenna, maybe you don't need to say every inspired thought you've ever had. But even more, I felt like maybe we just need to linger in that question. What name would you give God? And so we're going to take a moment of silence to sit in that and give you space for that this morning. Will you pray with me? God, the breasted one, El Shaddai, Emmanuel, will you show us? Will you help us see who you are? I'm aware that sometimes when we talk about things like this in church, maybe churns and stirs up all the things they maybe thought were fine. maybe just a note that I'm back. My scheduling link will be in the Awaken Weekly if you need just a conversation to process. I'm available and hopefully can point you in some helpful directions. As you go, friends, receive these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Find us online at www.awakencommunity.com
or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/awakencommunity
or on Twitter, awakencommunity.
See you next time.